efficient ways to build a world. You might start with a ball of molten iron and then coat it with successive layers of rock, like an old-fashioned gobstopper, and you'd have a very efficient planet, but it wouldn't look so nice. Besides, things would drop off the bottom.
"Pretty good," said the parrot. "Polly want a continent?"
"It's so big," breathed Eric.
"Yes," said Rincewind flatly. He felt that something more was expected of him. "Don't break it," he added. He had a nagging doubt about all this. If he was, for the sake of argument, a demon, and so many things had happened to him recently that he was prepared to concede that he might have died and not noticed it in the confusion. Rincewind had been told that death was just like going into another room. The difference is, when you shout, "Where's my clean socks?" no one answers. If he'd died and not noticed it in the confusion, then he still didn't quite see how the world was his to give away. He was pretty sure that it had owners who felt the same way. Also, he was sure that a demon had to get something in writing.
"I think you have to sign for it," he said, "in blood."
"Whose?"
said Eric. "Yours, I think," said Rincewind. "Or bird blood will do at a pinch," he glared meaningfully at the parrot, which growled at him.
"Aren't I allowed to try it out first?"
"What?"
"Well, supposing it doesn't work. I'm not signing for it until I've seen it work."
Rincewind stared at the boy. Then he looked down at the broad panorama of the kingdoms of the world. "I wonder if I was like him at his age," he thought. "I wonder how I survived."
"It's the world," he said patiently. "Of course it will bloody well work. I mean, look at it. Hurricanes, continental drift, rainfall cycle, it's all there. All ticking over like a bloody watch. It'll last you a lifetime, a world like that. Used carefully."
Eric gave the world a critical examination. He wore the expression of someone who knows that all the best gifts in life seem to require the psychic equivalent of 2 U2 batteries, and the shops won't be open until after the holidays.
"There's got to be tribute," he said flatly.
"You what?"
"The kings of the world," said Eric. "They've got to pay me tribute."
"You've really been studying this, haven't you?" said Rincewind sarcastically. "Just tribute? You don't fancy the moon while we're up here? This week's special offer, 1 free satellite with every world dominated.
Are there any useful minerals?"
"What?"
Eric gave a sigh of long-suffering patience.
"Minerals," he said. "Ores, you know."
Rincewind coloured.
"I don't think a lad your age should be thinking of..."
"I mean metal and things. It's no use to me if it's just a load of rock."
Rincewind looked down. The Discworld's tiny moonlet was just rising over the far edge and shed a pale radiance across the jigsaw pattern of land and sea.
"Oh, I don't know. It looks quite nice," he volunteered.
"Look, it's dark now. Perhaps everyone can pay you tribute in the morning." "I want some tribute now."
"I thought you might."
Rincewind gave his fingers a careful examination. It wasn't as if he'd ever been particularly good at snapping them. He gave it another try. When he opened his eyes again, he was standing up to his ankles in mud.